Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
I'm joining you from Wexford Harbour, where I'm looking out at the famous ballast bank where ships used to dump their excess weight. I'm outside or just across from a very popular store selling, very well-known store, selling very popular ideas at improbably low prices. And the sun is setting on people walking along the harbour walls here, shining on some faces, not shining on others. All around me there are some really corny political clichés. Let us stick with just one, though. The sun is setting here in Wexford Town in about 15 minutes' time. By the end of the week, it will almost certainly have set on some long-established political careers here too as well. Obviously, Wexford constituency, home to Rosslare Port, so the constituency is often at the sharp end of immigration issues. Host once upon a time to a 220-day long picket outside a hotel earmarked for asylum seekers. It was, in this government's lifetime, host to another protest over housing Syrian war refugees. So does immigration shape the campaign here is one of the questions that we're going to be asking today, and one on which Barry Lenehan has been taking soundings.
Yeah, and of course you had then Fine Gael candidate Verona Murphy, who attracted headlines in November during the by-election campaign here for the vacancy left by Mick Wallace of Independence for Change. During that campaign, her views on immigrants prompting headlines, but she went on to poll 24% of the vote in that campaign. And her comments followed controversies in Uachtaráin, Ballinamore and Connacht over the provision of accommodation for asylum seekers, those controversies dominating some of the final weeks of the 32nd Dáil. But that was a by-election campaign, this a general election campaign. So I went out onto the streets of Wexford with a card with 10 hot button issues, and I asked voters to pick what were their number one issues, and immigration seemed far from their minds.
Climate, housing.
Housing, probably. There's a guy down the street in a tent.
What about immigration?
Immigration, you know, we have enough money in this country to be able to cope with anybody coming forward and back. I think these people should be allowed to live and have their kids and be, you know, in this day and age, people should be able to be a bit more multicultural.
Education and funding.
What about immigration?
Wouldn't be a big thing to me now.
Education and health, because people matter.
Let me just say now. Homelessness.
One of the issue of immigration and migration, one candidate in particular in Wexford has strong views on that.
That's all just fluff. Just get people who are homeless into homes.
Housing. I was only housed late. I was about 2 years homeless.
I care about health more, probably the economy personally.
Immigration?
No, it doesn't particularly concern me. I've seen what's happened. I hope I'm bigger than that.
And that was the pattern. You had to suggest immigration before anybody picked up on it.
That's it. I was there for a good 40, 45 minutes with the card in the middle of Wexford town. Again, not a scientific experiment, but one revealing nonetheless. Now, several political parties are promising to phase out direct provision should they be in the next government. But one of those in the system who are left without a vote in this election. Before travelling to Wexford earlier, I caught up with Naima Shadari from Pakistan, a master's graduate here and highly engaged with the political system. She ran a campaign to keep Clondalkin Towers direct provision centre open when it was facing closure and those there facing the prospect of homelessness. Here's what she told me.
I arrived in April 2015 and I've been here for nearly 5 years now. What brought me here? Well, my circumstances. I didn't really plan to come here. I was in my choice, but I just found myself here. My 5 years, it was a learning experience. I've had bad experiences, worst experiences of my life, and good experiences as well. So I would just see it as it has built me up.
Looking towards this election, so you have obviously experience with the politicians in your campaign. What are people here in Towers and those in direct provision looking for from any potential election candidate or government?
I would just say the processing time for applications, they're pretty long. So when people come in the direct provision centres for their first interview, they have to wait over a year. I think average time period for waiting is 12 months. And when the direct provision was introduced in 2000, it was just supposed to be a temporary accommodation for a six-month time period. And now even to wait for your first interview, you have to wait for 1 year. So if that process for could be speeded up. People are here for a long, long time. The average time period for waiting would be 3 to 5 years, I would say. I know it has improved since this single application system came in, but before that, when I first arrived, I met people living in Clondalkin Towers that were here for 8 to 12 years. But for now, I would say there are people living here for 5 to 7 years, so the waiting time is very, very long.
And do you think politicians are showing enough leadership when it, say, comes to hate speech and issues like that and anti-migration sentiment? Do you think the politicians are showing leadership there?
As I see it, it won't be a good leadership if we're talking like that, like very anti-immigrant views. Well, people who are coming here, they're also human beings, and they're coming from... I know there are people who won't be genuine. There are cases which are genuine, which are not genuine, but we cannot generalize everybody and put them in a box. But the people who are coming from running away from difficult circumstances, traumatic situations. So if they come here, they're seeking protection. That means they're leaving their homes, which they can't call home anymore, and they're looking for a refuge or a home. And when they come here, they obviously don't want to hear these kind of comments. They don't want to feel welcomed here.
You'd call for people to refrain from such comments in the course of an election?
Yes, I would say so. If they could be nicer and kinder. Living in the system, you go through a lot. And if we could get a little bit of help from the politician, I would request if they could help review the direct provision system and see if there's any changes that could be made to make it better in a way that it's more respectful for people's human right and dignity.
So Naima, who obviously doesn't have a vote, looking for a little bit of leadership from the politicians on the direct provision and immigration questions. Let's park that issue for the moment to return to it with our politicians at 5:30. And Barry, turn our attention now to what's going to happen here come Saturday or Sunday when we start counting the votes in the Wexford constituency. Brendan Howland still likely to top the poll?
Yeah, he's first elected in 1987 and has consistently polled around 14% here in every election since the turn of the millennium. He's from here in Wexford town and is probably Labour's only poll topper in this election.
Fianna Fáil, four candidates on the ballot paper in one constituency. Is this hubris or sound strategy?
Well, speaking to one party grandee in Wexford last night, they said them boys in Dublin are at it again. A reference to Fianna Fáil headquarters' decision to run four candidates here and what happened in 2016 when the party took the most votes here, but only one seat after running a candidate too many. James Brown and Enniscorthy first elected last time with 13.7%. His family have held a seat here almost exclusively since 1957. He should return. Malcolm Byrne in Gorey, elected in November's by-election. This is fourth election in 10 months. The party also runs Michael Sheehan and Lisa MacDonald in South Wexford. MacDonald initially selected with Brown, and she has lambasted the decision to have four candidates here, saying she would not be bullied off the ticket by men who didn't have the balls to say to her face the reasons behind the strategy. Her 10-year-old daughter wanted her to run as an independent. There had been talk of three Fianna Fáil seats here. Most likely there could be two. James Brown joined by either Malcolm Byrne or Michael Sheehan.
Fine Gael, two sitting ministers. If the polls are right and there isn't a shy Fine Gael vote that's going to come out on Saturday, one of those two ministers is definitely in trouble, and on a bad day, possibly both of them.
The alarm bells are really ringing very loudly here in Wexford for Fine Gael. Two ministers of state, but one seems certain to lose their seat, with both looking vulnerable. Both Paul Keogh and Michael Darcy in portfolios which have attracted negative headlines, defence and insurance, both hampered geographically. In particular, Michael Darcy in Gorey, where a bit like Woody in the Toy Show, Toy Story, when Buzz Lightyear came along, he must contend with the freshly minted TD Malcolm Byrne. Fine Gael, 23.3%. In 2016. Keogh scrambled home by 52 votes then. He is put forward as the more likely of the pair to retain their seat. However, internal Fine Gael research shows that if the party polls 20% nationally, as last night's poll suggests, the party has exactly one quota between its two candidates, which could have catastrophic implications for them both if that plays out.
Verona Murphy. First she was Fine Gael, then she wasn't, but let's not mention the war. Let's focus instead on her by-election 23.8% share of the first preference vote. Where's that going to go?
And she has recycled some of her own Fine Gael posters in this election with the Fine Gael logo chopped off. In the debit column, she didn't take many from Fine Gael with her. In the credit column, she's well based geographically in the south of the constituency, will look to take votes which once belonged to Dr. Liam Toomey, and she has that big profile as a straight talker. Other independents to note are Ger Carthy, who topped the poll in Rosslare in the local elections, and also Seanie O'Shea, the candidate put forward by 2011 poll topper Mick Wallace.
We had to go right back in the history books to find the last time that there was a Sinn Féin TD elected in Wexford. 1922 was the answer that we came up with. Could this be Johnny Mithen's year, almost 100 years later?
And he came oh so close in 2016, just 52 votes. He polled around 10% then, and again in November's by-election, but he did lose his seat in the local elections, and that's a red flag. He's from Enniscorthy. The local form would suggest he may just fall short, but given what I'm hearing from my sources in other constituencies and private polling there, where Sinn Féin candidates who'd be written off as no-hopers are now apparently tipped as poll toppers, that Johnny Mithen look set to create history.
This constituency is your biggest challenge to call now, Barry, because you can only say two things for certain. One Labour, one Fianna Fáil. Beyond that, it all becomes a bit of a lottery.
Well, one Fine Gael seat looks gone at this juncture, perhaps to Johnny Mithen. At present, four of the five TDs are from North Wexford, with 40% of the voters below us in Wexford town in the south of the county underrepresented. Much will depend here who finishes on top between the independent Verona Murphy and Fianna Fáil's Michael Sheehan, and also who finishes beneath Keogh or Darcy. Which one of those finishes on top as well? The only prediction you can say with certainty is that if you're in the county centre in Wexford, bring the sleeping bag. But at the moment, between now and then, Malcolm Byrne, Paul Keogh and Michael Darcy will all be looking over their shoulders in the days ahead.
Much could also depend on how the candidates acquit themselves in our debate at 5:30. Join us then.